Hi, my name is George Kosmatos. I'm the director of Rambo First Blood Part 2, the following movie. We're going to go through my journey and let you know some anecdotes and stories or info that you may find interesting, I hope. The script was written by Jim Cameron, and then it was rewritten and reworked by Sylvester Stallone. I was hired by the producers and Sylvester Stallone to do the movie after they had seen a small movie I did called Of Unknown Origin, which won the Paris Film Festival Award. Here we are at the scene of the quarry. I tried to find a quarry. We shot the movie in Mexico, although I wanted to do it in Thailand, which was more appropriate for Vietnam. And I think we did a pretty good job shooting it there, imitating Vietnam as much as we could. We built quarries, we built rice paddies, we built statues to give you the oriental feeling of the period. And this scene here was supposed to be in a prison in the States, but we couldn't find a prison in Acapulco where we shot the movie. So here we are in a quarry 10 minutes away from Acapulco, Mexico, doing the scene. And I think it worked quite well. It's more open than a prison. Although we had these great ideas of having Stallone come walking down these prison cells with everybody shouting and giving it this great atmosphere. And in bright daylight, you don't get this. But we tried our best. Mexico, where we shot this, was in Acapulco. Sounds like a resort, which it is. We found the jungles and most of the sets like half an hour away from the margaritas and the beaches. And it was very hot. It was the middle of summer. We had a lot of problems, among them a big hurricane. We lost most of the sets. And then I had to shoot inserts in a hotel room to save time. I always work with two Panavision cameras on the set, both blimped for sound. And one camera is what I call loose. It just grabs little things and moves. It's always liquid. It's moving around for editing purposes. And the other one just stays in the scene, set. And of course, in action scenes, I use more than two, of course, maybe six, maybe seven big action scenes. In the helicopter scenes, we used cameras inside the helicopter and mounts outside the helicopters, as you will see. And it was a very tiring picture, but I think the result, it became the quintessential movie of the 80s about war in Vietnam, and it was very controversial. Some people, it made it very political. But I know one thing, that most people loved it. Some people found it as a guilty pleasure. But it was a huge hit all over the world. Everywhere they felt the same about this warrior Rambo. Yeah, here is the music by Jerry Goldsmith, who, by the way, I'm the godfather of his child, Aaron, who's done 3 movies with me. I love it. I love the way he scored this movie. Although it's the same theme like the first one, he's brought the Asian theme in this one much stronger. This statue you see, which gives you the feeling you're in Vietnam, was a huge styrofoam statue painted in gold to give you the feeling that we are entering Vietnam. And it was outside Acapulco in a big parking lot. So, against the sunset, to give it an extra dimension. And we had to build the rice paddies around to give you the feeling. That's with a long lens, a very big long lens, to get the helicopter from the sun. Here's the rice paddy. We built this rice paddy in a firing range, and we planted it with real rice. And then we dress some people like Vietnamese, and here we go. It's Vietnam. I hope I don't spoil your fun telling you all these little secrets. This is a base we found, an Air Force base outside Acapulco, half an hour, which is the Mexican Air Force. And they gave us a couple of hangars we could use to shoot the movie, and that's the place where Richard Crenna meets with Sylvester Stallone, Rambo. Troutman and Rambo meet for the mission. Boy, it was difficult to find this helicopter. We had to ship some most of the helicopters from Texas, the Hueys.
That'll be all. How you doing, Rambo? I'm Erickson. Why don't we make it over to the hangar? You're the chosen one, huh? You made a hell of a rep for yourself.
I figured that this hero... I never thought of the movie politically, to be honest with you. I just thought of this hero in the jungle, a warrior fighting the enemy, and it never crossed my mind to create such a political uproar.
Morning, John. Sir. This is Marshal Murdoch. He's in charge.
I like Chuck Napier. He plays the CIA guy. He's always good in Jack Demme's films. So I like his face, so I thought he would be great for it.
Come on in. Let's get down to business. I was glancing over your files. Makes for some pretty interesting reading.
We designed the hangar to be like part office, part communication center.
Bowie, Arizona, of Indian-German descent. It's a hell of a combination. Joined the Army 8664, accepted Special Forces specialization, light weapons. Cross-trained as medic, helicopter and language qualified, 59 confirmed kills, 2 silver stars, 4 bronze, 4 purple hearts.
The movie was a very exhausting movie because it had very difficult action scenes, and I think in many ways it was a precursor of many of the action films that followed, like the way the guns were shot and fired, the way the combat was shown in a movie for the first time, much more than before.
Give me something cold, please. Rambo, you certainly don't know as much about me as I do you. I hunched with a...
In most of this action scenes, we used storyboards and we created... I always believe that the action should be as different as possible and original. So if you look through the movie, in those days, 1985, that was really original action scenes, trying to give it a new movement to the action, a new idea, something different than the usual gunshots. And we did that, and you can see through the movie in many various scenes. And also I believe that locations was an important factor in any movie. It's another actor in a movie. And you'll see through the movie how we try to find strange locales of rock formations, and because that helps with the action scene as well. So with two or three of the major action scenes, like some of the helicopter scenes, were storyboarded ahead of time. But again, I want to be loose shooting a scene and not to be tied to the storyboards, because the storyboards is not the same as getting the feeling at the moment and doing things. This scene, this photographs of the prison camp we found, and we thought it would be interesting to build it in the middle of the jungle and all the watchtowers amalgamating within the trees so they look like hidden from the sky. So we gave a different look to the prison.
John, I want you to try to forget the war. Remember the mission.
This has some Mexican planes at the back sitting on the tarmac. This is the communication center we built. It looks like haphazard. They built it in this hangar where they do their operations in Vietnam.
You'll be issued every ultra-modern piece of equipment we have to ensure your safety. Rambo, you can feel totally safe because we have the most advanced weapons in the world available to us.
I've always believed that the mind is the best weapon.
Times change.
Some people.
Don't let me interrupt you, Colonel.
Upon insertion, call into base camp on Transat.
So, of course, the story is that he has to go down and take photographs of that camp. And, of course, he disobeys and goes further than that. We had a wonderful cameraman in that picture called Jack Cardiff, who's done some of the best movies in Hollywood, like Moulin Rouge and African Queen, and I think he was very helpful in creating the colors with me on this picture, which we tried to make it. We did not try to make it really colorful and not try to be different or make it sepia or make it give it a special look, but just bright Technicolor. Yeah, all these close-ups of the knives and the equipment he's going to take with him was... We did them the day that there was the hurricane on, and we couldn't shoot anywhere else in the hotel room. The knife actually was designed by Stallone himself. I wouldn't have done so many close-ups if I didn't have that hurricane day, so that was helpful. If you notice, the photography is just plain Technicolor. We didn't want to make it any gimmicky or any filtered or anything of the sort. So it looks bright Technicolor.
Don't stop and smell the roses, okay?
Yeah.
Run into any trouble, try to get to the hilltop extraction site marked on your map.
This is our first night scene done in the hangar, the Mexican hangar of the Air Force there. And the rest of the plane is a mock-up which we built inside another hangar for the exterior scenes, the close-ups of the exterior scenes of the plane. As you notice, I like close-ups because I think they give it more power to the movie, the inserts and the detail.
Think you'll find someone?
POWs?
Doubtful.
But there's people to satisfy. Questions that have to be answered.
Don't sound too emotional about it.
Wasn't my war, Colonel. Just here to clean up the mess.
It's a helicopter shot of the plane. Here we are in the plane, which is the mock-up.
AWACS 2-5 has arrived. They're holding timeline.
Session minus one.
Affirmative, Wolf Den. Over.
So we built this mock-up of the plane inside this hangar, and then we used the wind machines for him when he comes out, so it looks like he's outside the plane and he's hanging out to create the suspense. And we had also painting at the background that nobody sees, but it just gives you a feeling of sky. So we did the cheap, easy way. No CGI is nothing.
Stand by your position.
time.
So now we have the wind machines blowing. We intercut for reality with a real plane, intercut with a mock-up with a wind machine to give you the feeling of reality, lights, etc. He jumps out, intercut with a real plane. He's by the mock-up. He's hanging now in the air. We're hanging him from wires, which we had to paint black so you don't see them. That's why he's hanging.
He'll be torn apart.
And that gives you the feeling altogether, with music and intercutting with a bit of dust in the wind machine. Gives you the feeling that he's hanging out of the plane. And thank God for Jerry Goldsmith's music to keep it going. You see all the intercutting of the shots, of helicopter shots moving across mountains and valleys, give you the feeling that it's the plane flying. And also the angular shots of the plane flying with a camera helicopter gives you the feeling of movement. And now he jumped out, of course, which was a real jump from a real plane.
Any visual bearings by flares?
Negative.
We didn't see anything.
Maybe the smart thing to do is to abort the mission right now before there's any more complications. I mean, who could survive something like that?
He deserves the benefit of the doubt. He's got 36 hours to complete the mission and reach the extraction point. We owe him that.
Well, of course we do. But understand something now. In 36 hours, we pull out.
I didn't want to show him falling down with a helicopter close-up of his face like they always do, so it just cut directly at when he arrives on his running here. These are different shots of beautiful location we found to punch up the feeling that we're in Vietnam. Smoke of... He uses his knife for a compass. He grabs... Here we had a very strange situation. We wanted that snake to jump on him, but the snake was so limp and stupid that we thought it would be funny if he just looks at it and leaves it go. And it got alive, so it came to our advantage, believe it or not. I nearly killed the guy who brought us that snake, but I should be happy. It got the laugh in the movie at the right time. We built this temple in the middle of the jungle with vines, etc. That's about 10-15 minutes away from a hotel, but you really think that you're in Vietnam. And that's where he's going to meet his contact. And behind him you feel somebody's moving, which creates suspense. I always wanted to show that things were always hidden with vines and trees, and it was like very foreboding and mysterious. That's Julie Nixie. We tried a lot of ladies for that part, and she's a lady from Hawaii. She was very good for the part because she had this sensibility about her.
Did not expect a woman, no.
We better go.
We go to river. How come we're so late?
Got hung up.
One thing that helped this Rambo from all the other Rambos is that he had this relationship with this woman, and it made him more vulnerable, I think, from all the others. And when he loses her, it becomes very powerful emotionally. This is a mangrove we found near the lake, and I thought it was a great location to shoot the scene. The tide was out, so they looked ominous. When there's a hideaway for the pirates.
Jaco.
We couldn't find a river in Acapulco, so we shot most of the river scenes on a lake, pretending that it's a river. It was really difficult. You couldn't do one main shot of the boat going down a river because you had no river. You had to cheat it. This sampan sank a couple of times because we had all the crew sitting on it when we were shooting. One thing that was difficult in Mexico is to find Asian people to be Vietnamese. So we scoured all the restaurants, the Chinese restaurants and Vietnamese restaurants, to find extras. Here's that lake, which we make it look like it's a river. Shooting inside the sampan was difficult because we had to have a whole platform with all the crew sitting on it and on the sampan moving simultaneously with all the lights. So it's like a big rigmarole doing a thing in the water on a small boat like that. Really difficult and time consuming. Here we see a little hint that weapon is Russian, with a Russian Cyrillic writing. Here she says Russian, the word Russian. I didn't want to use it, but in the preview they didn't know what it was, so she has to say Russian to make people understand it was Russian. I thought the letters themselves was enough. Back at the lake.
Rambo. Want to eat? Maybe later.
That's one of the few scenes that they talk between them and they create a relationship in the movie.
How can you get into this?
It's a long story.
Long ride.
Well, after I left the Special Forces, I moved around a lot.
Why you leave Army?
I came back to the States and found there was another war going on.
What war?
Kind of like a quiet war. War against all the soldiers returning. It's the kind of war you don't win. It's my problem. How about you? How'd you get into it?
My father worked for intelligence agency. He killed and I take his place. It's too much death here. Death everywhere. I just want to live, Rambo. Maybe go to America. Live the quiet life. What do you want?
It's interesting, you're watching those two people talking to each other and there's like 100 member crew and more in the platform following them, following this boat.
You gotta become war.
Is that why they pick you? Because you like to fight?
I'm expendable.
expendable. What mean expendable?
One thing is for sure about Sly Stallone, he did a lot of work swimming in dirty water, running up the hills, jumping down on people. He never said no. He did very difficult stunts, and he never said no. He really wanted to do them. And just by the way he moves in an action movie, it helps to, for the reality of it.
What bring you good luck?
I guess this.
No further report.
I made them all eat here to show how uninterested they are in what he wants. Each one is eating or drinking, and they're very casual, while Colonel Trotman really wants to go and help Rambo, and this guy doesn't show any interest whatsoever. And I achieved that by eating and drinking and not caring, really.
You're a damn good man, Trotman.
Here we're at the part of the lake. They're arriving. She had to learn all this Vietnamese language to make it more real. And I use a lot of the crane shots through trees to give you the feeling of movement. That's the first shot I did in the movie the first day when they see the camp. First day of shooting.
See? Camp empty.
It was a track shot in the jungle. We sprayed all those trees as much as possible to give them a dew and humidity all the time, and smoke to give the feeling of humidity, extra humidity. This scene here is day for night. In other words, we shot during the daytime. And it's very difficult to achieve because you have to be real close. And you don't get the great big shots that I like. But we had to do it day for night because of all the bugs that are around when there's a lot of lights around. It's another day for night shot. Jack Cardiff is wonderful in his day for nights.
You're not going in there. But I thought you're supposed only to take pictures. What about orders?
No more orders, Cole.
You couldn't shoot an establishing shot of the camp because it's all over the place. It's all like hidden. So I just shot scenes in different parts of the camp to make you feel the feeling of the whole camp because it's all hidden within the trees and the shrubs. I thought it would be different than the usual prisoner of war camps. And we had a cave which we built to put all the prisoners in there. This horrible cave. Here I had to use everything as I could in suspense, make him go through the camp with voices, with the people talking, the guards. So all these near misses were for suspense.
39, 39, 39.
I always like water in a movie for splashing and for other dimension. Here's the cave where they have all the prisoners. Bamboo cave. And all kinds of horrible bugs and rats to show the condition. Shows you what horrible conditions they are in. I like the sound of the steps moving on wood for suspense. I wanted xenon lights to get more feeling from the guard towers, but I couldn't get them, so unfortunately I just had to live without them. Look, it doesn't have the same effect, the light. Again, here we're in water, escaping. We'll fill that place with water to give you the feeling of a brook. The editors in this movie were Mark Goldblatt and Mark Hartridge, two very good editors in action, who are very economical and fast in their shots. To show the girl here just her hands touching him, you know, of her presence.
All right. Let's go.
The arrow shots are all done with a wire. but you push them through a wire. They go directly where you want them to go, so they don't kill anybody, but you feel that they're going towards the destination. That's a whip pan moving from one place to the other to show commotion.
You have plans.
Minus 1 hour to extraction.
I hope for his sake we're not just wasting fuel.
So Colonel Trotman is going to go and help Rambo and the other people, not knowing that his mission will be aborted. Here we put green dye in the water to make it feel swampy.
Good thing you came when you did.
Why is that?
It moves around a lot, harvesting crops. Only been there a week.
When was the last time you were in that camp?
A year. Yeah. What year is it anyway?
1985.
It's supposed to be empty.
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
Come on. You see the dye in the water, green and swampy. And here's the first Huey helicopter we're using in the movie. Did you notice there's always running water? Give you the feeling of movement.
LD, you mixed up river.
Dave!
What's that all like?
Dave, come in.
This is two helicopters flying. One, the camera helicopter, and the other one is the action helicopter. Filming it, one filming the other. The boat here is very, very tight, so it's very difficult to move in here. So I only use one camera. This was one of the most difficult scenes to shoot because it's all on the water. It has two boats, and the timing was important. Inside the boat, we really gave it to him in gunshots. More suspenseful. There's one guy still left to keep him from jumping off the boat as the other one with the fire is coming towards him. And that keeps the suspense going. And this shot here, Stallone jumps himself from the boat. Nobody else. So it's a real shot. And it's not in slow motion, it's in real time.
You made it, Rambo!
The water here is really dirty. So he had to cover his ears with alcohol every time we jumped in the water. Here we're back in the mangroves. This is a towering part of the forest, which I liked, for the final meeting with the young lady.
You take this. We go on from here.
You better I stay till end.
This is the end. Let's go.
Mambo, you're not expendable.
Here we're intercutting with the helicopter flying to for the rescue.
3 minutes.
Camera inside the helicopter. And here is the rice paddy we built with the real rice. Here it is. It was a difficult scene to shoot because it was very open. You had nowhere to go. But I intercut it with a helicopter coming for the rescue. That's why I like CinemaScope. You have the whole scene in. It's very exciting. And this was another one of my ideas. I wanted them to climb this very difficult hill full of mud as the last part of the scene. Here they are climbing this difficult, muddy, full of mud scene. Endless climb up, and I did use a little bit of slow motion here to make it look endless.
Dragonfly reports the ground crew has what appears to be an American POW with him.
What did you say?
They've got one of ours.
The station's on condition Bravo. Myers, Harrison, good old. Everybody out! Come on, move!
Put your comment priority frequency. Give him the mic. Dragonfly, this is Coach One. This is an Alpha Kilo Victor command priority. I want you to abort the mission immediately. I say again, this is a recall. Confirm, over.
Say again, Coach One. Say again.
I'm telling you to abort.
Colonel, I've been ordered to abort before pickup.
Murdoch! Murdoch, for Christ's sake, we've got him in sight. Murdoch, you read.
We're going down.
You're not going anywhere.
You goddamn mercenaries.
There's men down there. Our men.
No, your men. Don't be a hero.
We'll be right back.
Listen up! I don't know!
What are you doing?
Do you know what the hell you've done?
Don't act so innocent, Colonel. You had your suspicions, and if you suspected then, you're sort of an accessory, aren't you?
Don't ever count me with you and your scum. It was a lie, wasn't it? Just like the whole damn war. It was a lie.
What are you talking about?
That camp was supposed to be empty. Rambo goes in, a decorated vet. He finds no POWs. The Congress buys it. Case closed. And if he happens to get caught, nobody knows he's alive except you and your computers. And you can reprogram that, can't you?
Who in the hell do you think you're talking to, Trapman?
A stinking bureaucrat that's trying to cover his ass.
No, not just mine, Trapman. We're talking about a nation's. Besides, it was your hero's fault. Now, if your warrior had gone in and done what the hell he was supposed to do, we'd be out of this clean and simple. He was just supposed to take pictures.
And if those pictures showed something, they would have been lost, wouldn't they?
Oh, Trapman, I still don't think you understand what this is all about.
The same as it always is. Money. In 72, we were supposed to pay the Kong $4.5 billion in war reparations. We reneged. They kept the POWs. And you're doing the same thing all over again.
What the hell would you do, Trapman? Pay blackmail money to ransom our own men and finance the war effort against our allies? What if some burnout POW shows up on the 6 o'clock news? What do you want to do? Start the war all over again? You want to bomb Hanoi? Want everybody screaming for armed invasion? You think somebody's going to get up on the floor of the United States Senate and ask for billions of dollars for a couple of forgotten ghosts?
Men, goddammit! Men who fought for the Kardashian!
Trotman, I'm going to forget this conversation ever took place.
You bastard.
And if I were you, I'd never make the mistake of bringing this subject up again.
You're the one who's making the mistake.
Yeah, what mistake?
Rambo.
We had to build a pigsty here to show the condition he's in. The worst treatment possible. And we couldn't get this brown color inside this liquid, so we poured a lot of Nescafe in there, in Maxwell's house, and all kind of instant coffee. But still it wouldn't get dark, but finally we got the color. Near the set we had a helipad for the helicopters to land and come and go. It was like a military operation, the whole movie. Because you can fly the helicopters, but you have to have a place for them to land. The only thing I miss in this movie is water buffaloes that exist in Vietnam. We couldn't get them. By the way, this is the Russian uniform. It doesn't look threatening enough, unfortunately. I was very upset about that.
People are so vulgar in their methods. They lack compassion. I am Lieutenant Colonel Potovsky. I do not know who you are yet, but I will. Take him and clean him up.
Steven Berkoff plays the Russian heavy. This is a real hut built on the, in the camp itself.
That's all. Thank you, Captain Vinh. Leave one guard, please.
Hold on, Roy. Leave, let me talk to you.
I see you are no stranger to pain.
Perhaps you have been among my Vietnamese comrades before. No answer. Do you wish to give your name? Now, what possible harm can that cause? Pride is a poor substitute for intelligence.
What you must understand is that we have to interrogate you.
To Sergeant Yushin here, you are a piece of meat, a laboratory experiment. But to me, you are a comrade, similar to myself, just opposed by an act of fate. I know you are...
Putting the knife in the coal there shows you how it gets hot afterwards, where he gets the tea from. There's a reason for that.
Your capture is embarrassing.
We must have explanation. First of all, I wish you to radio your headquarters and say that you have been captured and condemned for espionage activities, and that no such criminal aggression should be attempted in the future, or they will meet with the same fate as yours. Your strength. Good. Good.
We had an argument whether he should use that word or not, and finally we used it. I thought it was a good idea because it's much stronger. This is a night for night scene outside the camp. Speaking between them in Vietnamese is good because it gives it a feeling of a bit of reality. The idea of showing the lamps around the camp showed how much electricity charge they were putting through him.
Comrade, here is something that might be of interest to you. A transcript of the conversation between your helicopter pilot and his commander. We intercepted Dragonfly Wolf 10. Colorful names. Here we are. We have them in sight. And the reply, abort the operation immediately. This is a recall.
Confirmed. Over.
It seems you were abandoned on direct command. And these are the people you protect with your pain. Zariski Zvolic.
You may scream. There is no shame.
But you're nearly dead.
For what? Make the radio call.
thought to obey would be so much easier.
Yashin! Возьми нож.
This is torture. Endless torture. Took a long time to shoot these scenes. And the knife, to make it look hot, we had to put a light through it to make it look like it's really hot so it can go near his eyes. And the burning effect, of course, is two chemicals put together. It kind of burned Stallone's face a little bit.
Put it in his eye.
If your life means nothing to you, then perhaps he's God.
This scene is really excruciating with torture and all kinds of things like that, so that when he escapes, you are all the way with him. He's such an underdog in this scene that after that he can do no wrong, and that was a very important scene in the picture. If you notice, there's a bag of U.S. gifts to the Vietnamese. It's ironical. So now, by now, the audience are so uptight about this whole torture scene that they're ready for him to escape and get out of there.
Location and status. Over.
What is it, Wolf?
It's Rambo, sir.
Receive. Over.
We read you, Lone Wolf. What is your position? Over.
I say again, what is your position? Over.
Your friend dies if you do not answer.
Lone Wolf.
Johnny, this is Troutman. Where the hell are you? John, come in. He's here.
Rambo, this is Murdoch. We're glad you're alive.
Where are you? Give us your position and we'll come to pick you up.
Murdoch. I'm coming to get you.
When he says Murdoch, I'm coming to get you, the whole theater, everybody stands up and screams. This is the turning point when Rambo can do no wrong after being tortured, and that's what this is the turning point of the film. And it was done on purpose to make him a total underdog and then turn it over. So now the audience are with him with the girl escaping from this camp. So we're using two helicopters, always in action, a camera helicopter, scenes coming up. Here I go again with the water. I always like water in a film. Of course, this barbed wire made of plastic, so don't worry, he won't cut his hand. From now on, it's a montage of him and the girl running away from the enemy. And I use cranes, like this shot here, or helicopters. This is another crane shot. Gives it movement as they're going after them. This area where they're looking for him, I found that in the middle of Acapulco, actually, it's a small jungle. And on the other side is a beach where all the presidents, ex-presidents of Mexico live. So it was like an enclosed space and we can really work well there. See, I'm not getting the shots or lights I wanted through a xenon light, but again, budget reasons. This scene too of him wanting to get some air gets a laugh in the theaters because it shows that he's nervous, afraid that Rambo will come and get him. So that was an unexpected little advantage.
We're safe for now.
This location, we found it quite far away from Acapulco, actually like an hour's away. Which usually I don't like to find them too far, but I like the location with the rocks and the moving water.
It's all right.
By the way, the movie won the best nomination for special effects editing, sound effects editing.
Thanks.
What do you do now? Try getting across through Thailand?
Yeah.
Then go America?
Yeah.
You take me with you?
Rambo kisses. That's unique. And I think that helped the film a lot. He's vulnerable.
Yeah.
We go?
Let's go.
This is a squibs galore scene. We had to, took hours to squib the stones, the rocks, which take longer.
You're right.
Rambo?
Yeah.
You not get me?
No.
I want the rescue team ready to go in 1 hour.
You're risking your career, your reputation, even your family's security. You honestly think any one man's worth all that?
Yes, I do.
I'm giving you a direct order to withdraw from this project.
Do I get the rescue team or do I go over your head?
You don't seem to understand something. I'm in charge here. You're just a tool. We're the machine. I want him placed under arrest. He's not to leave the base.
Never had a chance, did he?
Like you said, Colonel, he went home.
So now Rambo is ready for action, more action. I like the rain scene here after her death. And he has his hands in the mud where her body is buried, and he moves them towards the bow. And now he's ready. So systematically we built this man into a killing machine. From now on, I had to figure out ways to kill the enemy that were original and different. And you can see them one after the other here in a montage. This is one. Appears from everywhere, from the water, from behind rocks, from behind trees. These are stuntmen getting killed as Russians. Rigging the arrows for the airborne arrow scenes takes a long time, so every take takes a long time if you have to reshoot it. That's what happens with action movies, with the squibs and the arrows and all the other things. If you have to redo them, it takes a long time to prepare them. And that scene came to me one day, and I had some people against it, but finally I had it shot when he appears in the mud with his eye. You see how interesting water makes the scene, the splashing of water gives it a wonderful feeling. I like this rock formation is when he's hiding from. round, big, black, gray rocks. Because you can't keep showing trees only. You have to change the look a bit. Now he's running and he goes into a village which were built by a bridge, a Vietnamese village with steps. And I try to involve people, you know, there's some monks there and old people watching and children. Like he's going down this steps of the village. We've got some really nice faces, people. Ah, he sees a hand there, so he got an idea. Here's the bridge. Unfortunately, when we shot the scene, it was a bit front-lit, so you can't see the village very well at the embankment. Where there's elephant grass. So he runs through the elephant grass. We had to grow this elephant grass, by the way. And we had some flooding problems, so... But we saved some of it. Here it is. They go after him in the elephant grass. You notice the grass is not really dark green. It's kind of fading now by the time we went to shoot it. Close-ups of guns and boots and knives is always interesting to intercut it with the scene. Gives it more suspense. Here's the blood. This is a handheld camera in here. We're using a handheld camera. No steady cam, just handheld. Try to put the sound on those tips of the arrow so it, you know that it's going to blow up, like tick, 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 so it has a sound, so you know it's going to explode. The soldiers are trapped in the elephant grass. This is a stuntman on fire. It comes to the waterfall sequence. The waterfall was found by the Mexican art director Agustin Iturrate, who unfortunately now is dead. He was, got killed in another movie. He was a wonderful art director, and he found this waterfall in the middle of nowhere. It was not even in the map around there. And to go there, we had to fly with helicopters in that set. So the producers gave me couple of days to shoot this whole sequence, so I did it there in a couple of days so I can do it. We had to put mats all over because the rocks were slippery so we can move around. So the helicopter will bring the crew down on the set and fly back. Oh, this was a dummy we belt that looked exactly like the guy was supposed to blow up. Is the helicopter shot? Throw the bomb, so I wanted the whole waterfall to turn on fire. I wanted a fiery waterfall. And it's pretty close what happened at the end. Now with the helicopter and this, we're trying to find him. Water squibs. And then we had Sly hiding under the water and he jumped out. That was difficult to do. This helicopter scene, the whole fight, we're going to do it from a hanging helicopter, hanging from a crane, but the crane link broke and the whole helicopter fell down. Thank God we were not in it. So we shot the whole thing on the helicopter, here it is, on the ground, not hanging from anywhere, with backlit, intercut with a real helicopter with a stuntman in it. Helicopter to helicopter shooting, camera to action helicopter. This is shot on the ground, this helicopter, but with the wind and backlit, it gives you the idea that this was on the ground. So it's intercut with a real helicopter. This is the only shot that we put Sly in the helicopter, and we photographed the green behind him to make it look like he's there. We only used him in one shot. This is all helicopter on the ground. This is real helicopter. From now on, I'm using helicopter to helicopter through the whole movie to get the feeling of flying of one helicopter through the other. This is the attack on the camp. This took a lot of organizing because I cut the camp in pizza pieces, and I would do one at a time of the shootout. It will be little vignettes of what happened in the camps, because you can't shoot the whole thing all in once. So first the left, then the right, etc. Then point of view from the helicopter. Helicopter mount. We had the cameras across from the rice paddies looking down at the camp. Helicopter mount, looking through the prisoners. Helicopter mount, handheld helicopter inside the helicopter over Stallone. So the detail and the close-ups intercut together with the helicopter flying creates this big action scene. And held inside the helicopter over Sly. No, helicopter down, track shot with him as he's shooting. I had to choreograph a fight between helicopters like a duel or a fight. So from now on, there is the scene of the one helicopter chasing the other. And that was storyboarded ahead of time in the beginning of the movie, before the movie even started. And we made the Russian helicopter very heavy looking, it's a Puma, it's a French helicopter, but we made it look very ominous. We converted it. So now we have like three helicopters. We have camera helicopter, American helicopter, Huey, and the converted Puma. And the chase starts. So we have a car chase here, we have a helicopter chase. So we didn't know how to end it in the beginning when we first started thinking about the helicopter chase. So I figured it should be a duel between two helicopters, like down a street. And that's what happens here at the end. And also added people here to give it more a feeling that there's people that are around, not only trees and mountains. So there's a village here, Vietnamese village. Here a piece of the helicopter falls, but you think it's a bomb or something. But if you look over here, he drops it by mistake. Here it is. But we left it in. So this is intercut between helicopter to helicopter. Here's the turning, you think he's gonna crash. And he lands on a patch of land in the middle of the river. Coming over the mountain, he thinks he's crippled the helicopter, looking down. It looks like the helicopter's in the middle of the river, but we just found a little piece of land there and just put the helicopter in. This is on the ground. Get a good wind draft through the helicopter. That's it. Now they're going off back home. Back to the camp. We show the helicopter with smoke in it. We have a smoke capsule that makes it look like the helicopter is hit.
Lone Wolf calling Wolf Den. Over. Lone Wolf calling Wolf Den. Over. Wolf Den. This is Lone Wolf. Do you read? Wolf Den, this is Lone Wolf. Over.
Yes, we hear you, Lone Wolf. Over.
Prepare for emergency landing. Arriving with American POWs.
You heard. Prepare for arriving POWs. Let's fly.
He takes the gun, turns around, the bullets around his hand. You know he's up for trouble here.
Glad you made it! Good
boy! Good, okay.
Comes backlit into the hangar. And we squibbed the whole set. So I started going close on the bullets in slow motion. I had to show that his whole anger is against the bureaucracy and the equipment.
I take them just like you. I swear to God, I didn't know it was supposed to happen like this. It was just supposed to be another assignment.
Help! Mission accomplished. You know there's more men out there. You know where they are. Find them, or I'll find you.
Joe,
John. Where are you going?
I don't know.
You've got second Medal of Honor for this. Keep running, John. You're free now. Come back with us.
Back to what? My friends died here. Part of me died here.
The war, everything that happened here may be wrong, but damn it, don't hate your country for it.
Hey. I died for it.
And what is it you want?
I want what they want. And every other guy who came over here and spilt his guts and gave everything he had once for our country to love us as much as we love it. That's what I want.
How will you live, John?
Day by day.
After a long, hot summer with hurricanes and heat and all kinds of problems, the movie ended in this final scene. I'm proud of the film, watching it 12 years later, and I hope you enjoy it too. Had really great help, the cinematography by Jack Cardiff, the music by Jerry Goldsmith, the film editing by Mark Goldman and Mark Helfrich, and my producers. I think the movie became a huge hit all around the world, and it was really a surprise when this happened. But we found out through time that it was a story of this underdog that goes against all odds and survives. And that's any man in the world today. So the movie, although it's a movie from the 80s, it in a way, it is eternal. It's a man against odds, all kinds of odds. Thank you everybody for watching it, and I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll see you in my next movie. And thank you.